It's a great privilege to serve here as pastor. And I appreciate y'all. And I appreciate especially your prayers. Prayers mean more to me than anything else. As I was listening to that song, I know that was part of the chorus. Your prayers for God sharing with me God's wisdom on how to lead this church is what I covet more than anything else. Especially in a day and age where we're in a paradigm shift, where churches are becoming to look much different than what people were used to for so many years. We're having to reinvent ourselves. We're having to look outside the box. We're having to try to figure out how can we be who we can be. So I truly covet your prayers with that. But for over 4 years now, it's been a wonderful blessing to serve here. It really, truly has been. Deanne and I always dreamed of moving to the mountains, but we did not know anything about Withville before 5 years ago. But now we're glad that we know Withville well, and we know the people at Withville Baptist Church well. So thank you. Today we're going to be looking at the whole first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. It's Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. It's only 10 verses long, so don't go, uh-oh, he's doing a whole chapter today. I'm doing a whole chapter because it's a very short chapter, but it's a prayer of Paul's. And it's a prayer that he has for this church that he writes not only from himself, but from Silas and Timothy also. So listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. One of my hopes for the Christian walk and for the Christian journey is that people in the midst of churches would come to understand that it is a journey. It's not a one-time event where you come and you join a church and you get baptized and now I'm saved and now I'm born again and now I'm a believer and now I've done what I needed to do. That is such a small, insignificant picture. You see, the Christian, being a Christian is a journey. It's not an event. It's not an activity. It's a journey that must happen day by day by day. Every morning I've got to get up and decide that I'm going to be a Christian. You do realize that you can get up this morning, you can get up tomorrow morning, and you can decide I'm not going to do this anymore. It's very easy to make that decision. The Christian journey is a journey of growth. It's a journey of getting to know God further, in deeper, and in richer ways. But it's so against human nature. Walking the Christian journey can be very difficult because it is against human nature. Let somebody cut you off on the interstate, I bet you can tell me what human nature is. Can't you? Let the third or fourth or fifth or sixth scam phone call come, and I bet you can tell me what human nature is. Let somebody deal you wrong, and you can tell me what human nature is, can't you? Human nature is to get back at folks. Human nature is not to turn the other cheek. Human nature is against many things in the Christian journey. That Christian journey is a difficult and a hard thing. I've got to think about it. I've got to make decisions before things happen. And I've got to decide that when something does happen, that I'm going to live the right way. And then I'm going to say the right things. And then I'm going to do the right things. One of the things that is very, very helpful for us is that we have the Gospels of Jesus Christ, the studies of His life. And if we are studying the life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, it gives us one example to follow. And one of my understandings of why Jesus came was so that He could show us that it is possible to live the Christian journey. Now, I know some of you might say, well, He was God. Of course, it's possible for Him to do it. But I want you to understand also, we believe, and the Bible teaches, not only was He 100% God, but He was also 100% human. Therefore, He struggled. He was tempted. He did have problems living the Christian journey. But what He showed us is that it is possible, that it can be done. If you're not studying the Gospels at some point in time in your life, you're missing out on the very best example you have for living the Christian life. You see, people tried to corner Jesus, and they tried to accuse Him of not living God's ways, and they tried to get Him to answer questions like, should we pay taxes? And He did it in such a way that He gave such a deeper meaning to that, because He said, let me see the coin. And on that coin was a picture of Caesar. And He just simply asked, He knew, but He asked, He said, who is this? And they said, Caesar. And He said, well, give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar then. But the deeper stretch that He went to was, give back to God what has the image of God on it. That's us. We carry, each and every one of us carries the image of God. We have been made in the image of God, and that image should be given back to God. Our lives should be given back to God in our Christian journeys. And Jesus shows how to do that as people ask Him questions. It's one of the reasons we've been working through the Gospel of Mark. And in a few years ago, I walked us through the Gospel of John, because we need that example. Some of my theology teachers says that they said that, that Jesus is the example par excellence. We need to know how Jesus responds to things. We need to know the things that Jesus does. We need to realize that sometimes Jesus pulls back from interacting with people to become closer to God. To become closer to God. Sometimes maybe we need to pull back. What do you think? Sometimes we need to step back. Sometimes we need to take ourselves out of interaction in society so that we can interact more with God for the moment. What a great joy that is. That's one of the reasons we call this what? The sanctuary. We come here to meet God. I hope you didn't come here to be entertained by me. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to help you meet God. And that's why we set this time aside, so that we can hear what God has to say to us. So if you want to walk the Christian journey, you want to walk that spiritual path, you need to know how Jesus reacts, how Jesus acts, how he interacts, how he works in the midst of this world. So you study the Gospels. The Gospels give us the biggest picture of how we can be in this world. There's a second way, though, and that's what Paul brings up in this first chapter of Thessalonians, the first letter to them. He brings up a second way. It's not just knowing Jesus and following Jesus. It's also knowing a person who seeks to live like Jesus also is a great benefit. Knowing a person who seeks to live like Jesus is also a great benefit. You see, I can study the Gospels, and I can look into the Gospels, and I can see how Jesus teaches us how to walk the spiritual journey. That was 2,000 years ago. His world was a completely different world than our world is. Right? Completely different. How do we bring some of those things that Jesus does into the midst of our world, our culture, our society, our country? Sometimes it's not easy to bring those things that Jesus taught and that Jesus did into our modern times. That's when it's very important to know someone else in our modern time that's trying to live like Jesus. Because I want you to listen to the key verse that I've keyed in on all week, and that's verse 6. Listen to this verse again. Paul said, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord." You see, we need to be imitators of the Lord in this world. But Paul basically told them, "I have given you an example in our day and age right in front of you that you could see, that you could watch, that you could understand, so that you know how to live as a Christian on this journey." You know, and all of you are aware of this, you've seen it happen. As little kids learn by imitation, don't they? Let's stop there for a minute. Do little kids learn by imitation? They watch us and they copy us. And, well, Pop-Pop does that, why can't I? Daddy's got a knife in his pocket, why can't I have a knife in my pocket? Kids learn, and if you have not learned this and have not had kids yet, let me just give you a little bit of insight. Kids are the best tape recorders you will ever have. whatever they hear you say, at some point in time, they're going to say it. So if it's something you don't want them to say, the wisdom is you should never say it either. Because they're going to hear you say it and just assume, well, that's a good thing to say. They're not going to understand the context. They're not going to understand the attitude that's behind it or what's going on. They will. But you see, as kids learn by imitation, we also learn by watching others live as Christians in our culture. You know what one of the biggest complaints is out of people that don't go to church? I'm not going to church there because those people say they're Christians, but do you know how they act all week? That's one of the biggest complaints. Pastor, I can't go to church there because you don't really know how those people act during the week. They may act like Christians on Sunday, but I see them at work, and I see them at the grocery store, and I see them at the department stores and at the gas station, and they're not acting like Christians there. And I don't want to be with a bunch of people like that. One of the things that I've been talking about now for over a year and a half, and that I have tried to always do my whole ministry, is discipleship. And I know some have reflected to me, that's too hard. Discipleship's too difficult. I'm too old. I even heard one person say, you can't teach an old dog any new tricks. That book that you got on discipleship's a pretty good book, but you just can't teach old dogs new tricks. I'm going to tell you once again, discipleship is key. Discipleship is key. If you're not being a disciple, then you're not being a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a disciple is not for a select few. It's meant for every person who believes in Jesus Christ. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ. The very basic word in Greek means learner. That's all it means. Learner. Can you learn? I know, somebody's going to come to me later and go, nope, done past that point in my life, I can't learn. That's not true. That is not true. Can you learn from Jesus Christ? Is there ways that your life needs to be transformed? Can you learn? Can you be an imitator of Jesus Christ? Do you know someone who is trying every way that they can to act like, talk like, respond like a Christian in the midst of this world? There's a person that you should be doing all that you can to learn about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As kids can learn by imitation, we also can learn by watching other people. If you want to call it having a mentor, that's okay too. Everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a mentor. Even mentors. They need someone that they can receive some input from, they can get some understanding from. A spiritual guide, a spiritual director, someone who can help them. So we not only have the example of Jesus Christ that we can imitate, but we can also imitate those who are trying every way that they can to walk the Christian journey in the best possible way in order to deepen and enrichen their spiritual journey on this earth. Discipleship is tough. I'm not going to tell you anything different. It's tough. This world fights against it. Discipleship puts you in the place, though, where you have an opportunity to become transformed by the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ. Is that not what we're here for? To know God deeper and in richer ways and reflect God in this world? You've also heard me say over the past month or so, church should not be about programs. Church should not be about events. Church should not be about activities. That should not be the primary focus of the church. Church should not be about maintaining the institution. That's not the primary focus of the church. So now you ask the question, what is the primary focus? The primary focus is helping people to have a real experience with a living God. And if you have a real experience with a living God, you only want to step deeper into that. And if we're not helping people have a real experience with a living God, we're not doing what Jesus Christ asked us to do. You see, what happened was churches made programs, activities, organizations, events, and hoped that what would happen in the midst of those things would people would have an experience with God. But here's what I found in my almost 25 years of ministry. There's almost no follow-up. There's almost no nurturing. There's almost no helping. People grow in the spiritual journey. Someone might have an experience with a living God, but then nobody's there to come alongside them and say, "Tell me about that. Wasn't that great? How can we take the next step to go even deeper?" We get together, and what do we call fellowship? Eating around the table, talking about our children, grandchildren, and the weather. And your last shopping trip. Or your last vacation. That's not an example of biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship is getting together with one another and saying, "Where did you see God this past week? What did God teach you this past week? How did you learn to be a better imitator of Jesus Christ?" Those are tough questions, aren't they? Bet you don't want to go to lunch with me. Those are the kind of questions that lead to fellowship. Those are the kind of questions that encourage and uplift one another. Those are the kind of questions that help us be imitators of Christ. For 25 years, myself, my wife, and my family have lived in a fishbowl. You don't believe me? Listen to people talk about pastors' kids. Let a pastor kid do one wrong thing and the whole community knows, don't they? You know what the pastor's kid did? Am I sorry that I have to live in a fishbowl? No. I choose to live in a fishbowl because I want to show you what it means to be like Jesus Christ. I want to show you what Jesus Christ would do in the midst of our day and age, how Jesus would live, how he would walk, and who he would help, and who he would be with, who he would lift up, how he would bend down, how he would stoop so low. What's my hope? My hope is that as you watch my life, that you'll say, I want to imitate him. Does that have anything to do about me and pride and being boastful for myself? No. My prayer for an incredible number of years has been this. When I die, I don't want anybody to remember me. I want to fade into the woodwork of the cross, and I want people to be able to say, that was a representation of Jesus Christ in our presence. I don't want to be remembered. I don't want a plaque to be put up for me, a building named after me. That seems to be a dangerous thing in our day and age now. I want people to know what Jesus Christ would look like in this world. Now, do I succeed at that every day? No. I fail. But I also want to show you what failure looks like. And I also want to show you what happens when you fail and what you do to recover from that and what you do to repent and confess and what you do to come closer to God because you know that's where you want to be. So is it about me being a perfectionist? I done tried that. That'll drive you crazy. And it drove me crazy. I've told you before, I have OCD. I have OCD so bad it's OCD or CDO. How about that? I have OCD so bad that it's CDO. If you don't get that, talk to me later. It's something I'd never wish on anybody. Never. It complicates my life in incredible ways. Did Jesus have OCD? No. I'm trying to learn how to step away from that, to be more like Jesus Christ. For those of you that don't know what OCD is, that's obsessive compulsive disorder. If you ever watched the TV show Monk, he had several degrees in OCD. And my kids used to love to watch it. And I did some things to imitate Monk. And it drove my kids crazy. They're like, Dad, don't do that. No, don't do that. And that was before I realized I had the problem, and that's why they didn't want me to do it. You see, they could laugh at Monk when Monk did it, but they couldn't laugh at Dad when Dad did it. Folks, I've done everything I can to try to say, follow me, imitate me. Not because it's about me, and not because I want to be remembered. Because I want you to live like Jesus Christ. Paul says you were imitators of us and of Jesus Christ. You see, here's the great benefit. When others see this holy living, our faith will be known by the whole community. When others see this holy living from us, living like Jesus Christ in the midst of our culture, in the midst of our times, there'll become a desire in their heart, and they'll say, those people really are God's people. And they'll become a desire in their heart where they say, that's what I want to be too. What did Paul say? Verse 7, he said, so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia? The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. What would it be like to go to just about any place here in town and hear somebody say, you know, those people at Withville Baptist Church, they do everything they can to live like Jesus Christ. What would it be like to go to Richmond and hear somebody say, you know those people at Withville Baptist Church? They do everything they can to live like Jesus Christ. What would it be like to go to the West Coast to hear that? What would it be like to go to a third world country and to hear somebody say, you know those people at Withville Baptist Church? They do everything they can to live like Jesus Christ. Wow! Wouldn't that be incredible? Wouldn't that be an incredible way for our church to be known? Instead of, as some churches are known, you know, that's the church that split because they couldn't decide what color of carpet to put in the sanctuary. That church split because some of them liked that pastor and some of them didn't. That's not a way to be known as a church. What would happen in our community if every time you heard somebody talk about Withville Baptist Church, it was always about living like Jesus Christ? Should that not be our goal? Should that not be our goal? I ask you to think about discipleship. Got people in the church that know how to teach it. If you're interested, let me know. I'll hook you up. I'll help you. The discipleship class that I led for over 8 months, we met almost every week after a period of time. We still meet once a month to talk about how to be more like Jesus Christ. To talk about where do we see God working. To talk about who will we talk to about being a disciple. People are chomping at the bit to help somebody. Do you want to be an imitator of Jesus Christ? I know some people who can help you. So let me ask you this question. Are you becoming a model for all believers to follow? Are you becoming a model for all believers to follow? Paul said you became imitators of us and of Jesus Christ. If someone looks at you, do they see Jesus Christ? Do they hear Jesus Christ? Are you becoming a model for all believers to follow? That should be the goal for each and every one of us. Let us pray. Lord, this spiritual journey is difficult. very hard. Especially when Jesus Christ says, be mature, just as your God in heaven is mature. And Lord, not of all of us have come to that place yet. Matter of fact, none of us have. There's so much more we can learn. Thank you for the example of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the example of those who live around us that seek to do everything they can to live like Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, that we might be truly become someone that others see Jesus Christ in, and that others want to imitate because they want to be like Christ. Not like us, but like Christ. Lord, give us the courage to take a step in our journey. Give us the boldness to say, I need help. And give us the desire to open our hearts fully to you, to be transformed into the image you want us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.